It wasn't always the case. Once upon a time, two twin beds in the one room was how most, well, married in particular, couples slept. In the 1800s, it was first said to be the in thing for couples, the old twin bed. By the 1920s, separate beds were seen as, and I quote, as necessary as separate dishes for every eater. By the late 1950s, and definitely by the mid-1960s, couples were sharing a bed, and that kind of remains to this day, or does it? Must you always co-sleep with your partner? Relationship coach with the Sugar Doctor, Tara Thomas, is here to unpack this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Kaya.
Is it?
I mean, that's the question. Was it a good sleep last night?
I'm fine. I'm on my own. The only person keeping me up is the dog. As necessary as separate dishes for every eater.
I love that. That is hilarious.
The twin bed once. What's changed, do you think?
I'm not really clear on what the actual change is. Perhaps it's a greater openness to talking about sexuality, so we can refer to a shared bed as being, you know, something that we do. But I don't really know what the sort of social changes are around why that has become the norm. But I actually also think that there are a lot of people who do sleep separately and perhaps feel weird about talking about it.
Mm. Because do we see it with a bit of stigma if someone says, oh, no, we don't sleep in the same room?
Yeah, I think quite often what we make that mean is that the relationship is suffering and that's why they've gone to separate beds, you know, that it's sort of the beginning of the end, you know, separated in different beds, in different rooms, and that means that the relationship isn't going well. But I don't know that that's always the case.
Mm. What are the considerations? What are the things we weigh up before we decide whether this works for us or not?
Yeah, look, there are a couple of really important factors, and they are almost they're almost opposing factors, I think, at times. So you want to think about your sleep quality, your objective sleep quality, which you can measure with, you know, all of the gadgets that we have these days. So you can look at your sleep patterns, the length of sleep, your heart rate variability, your heart rate, look at all of those statistics and get a really objective idea of how well you're sleeping. But you also want to think about the relational qualities and the sort of social qualities around the connection that you have with your partner, opportunities for intimacy, even just routines in your household around the kids or work routines or, you know, your waking and sleeping patterns, your chronotype. So there are all of these different factors that come into that. And because of that, Kaya, it's a really difficult area to study, and there's not really a lot of quality research that has been done to be able to let us know, you know, sleeping together is better or sleeping together is not as good. Because also you need to take out a lot of those variabilities to get good quality data in a research study. So, it's a tricky area, and a lot of the, I suppose, decision is really subjective and according to what that couple thinks works best for them.
Well, it's really challenging as well because each couple might be different. Like the individual in each couple could be different. One might be like, no, I sleep so much better when you're in the bed next to me. And the other is like, I cannot sleep next to you.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You know, you're looking at the individual factors. So you're looking at someone's chronotype, which is, you know, are you a night owl or a morning person, things like medications and health, whether there's disordered breathing, leg movement, sleep disorders, as well as those relational factors, like you say, which might make one individual think, you know, I feel more connected to you. I feel like we're more intimate and closer. I actually find it easier to get to sleep because there are a lot of social signals around safety and comfort that do improve sleep. So, like you say, even in one couple, each individual can have a different experience of the quality of their sleep.
All right, let's talk through some of, you know, what we do know. What are the benefits of sleeping together?
Yeah, so,
I mean, sleeping next to each other.
In the bed, parallel.
Sleeping. Oh, gosh, it's a tricky subject.
So the relational factors of sleeping together. So when you have good sleep together, it also improves your relationship quality. As we all know, you know, when you have problems with your sleep, when you're not getting good sleep, we tend to be a little bit more irritable. We're not as great at problem solving. So when you sleep well, then your relationship improves and then your sleep improves, and that kind of is a reinforcing cycle. One of the things that I did read that was interesting in some of the research that has been done on co-sleeping is that it increases the amount of REM sleep that a couple or that each individual in that couple has. And that that's the part of your sleep pattern that really improves your memory consolidation, your procedural memory consolidation. And, you know, there are all sorts of benefits in terms of having that increased problem solving, more dreaming that does come with the REM sleep. And so even one of the benefits, I think, of sleeping together is just the alignment in your routine can help in the house with a smooth kind of transition between daytime and nighttime, you're not being kept awake by your partner doing other things. So there are a lot of benefits to sharing the bed. Also, the increased opportunity for intimacy and for sexuality. It's not a given, but, you know, you're in the same place, same time every day, and that can increase the chances of those things happening.
Yeah. Are there other benefits that we see?
Of sleeping together?
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, look, I think it's primarily that REM sleep and the relational quality, the depth of your relationship. It also improves your social brain. So when people spend more time in connection with someone else during the night, then their social brain is boosted and they are better socially during the day. So, so those are the key sort of factors in the benefits. And then in terms of some of the challenges of sleeping together, I think we've all experienced a bed partner who perhaps isn't as easy to sleep with. There's, you know, the differences in preference for environment. There's the sleeping disorders, so whether it's snoring, sleep apnea, you know, narcolepsy, insomnia, all of those things can really contribute to poor sleep and make it, you know, not so beneficial to be in the same bed.
How do you approach this conversation?
As an experiment, is my short answer. As an experiment, I would think you want to approach it with a partner as an experiment in seeing the difference in your sleep quality, in your relationship quality, and really look at what are the different elements that, and, you know, my emotional and relational needs that we want to have met while also optimizing your sleep quality. So you want to look at, I would divide it into sort of three stages, like pre-sleep, so that's the routines of getting ready for bed, doing whatever you need to do in your house, and then the part where you're in the bed but you're not yet asleep, so that's the pre-sleep section. Then you want to think about the sleeping, which is the actual act of sleep, and then the waking routine. So what happens, you know, from when you wake up to when you get out of bed. Those pre- and post-sleep sections, the elements, are really more about routine and relation because those are the things that you do together and that you get to pick. What happens during sleep is not so much up to you to choose. You can create the right environment, but that's more about your individual, health and sleep patterns.
Yeah, and it doesn't always have to be saying, well, good night, and going into your separate room and shutting the door and seeing them bright and early the next morning. Like there are more, I guess, personalised ways to work around it, Tara.
Totally. You can get super creative. So you want to say, you know, I have a need for intimacy and connection, or a desire for intimacy and connection, and I find that I get that in the pre-sleep stage. So you could do the pre-sleep stage together, get ready for bed, go and hang out in bed, do whatever the thing is, whether it's reading or intimacy or sex or chatting. And then one of you could get up, perhaps one of you finds that they're more creative in the night hours, or they like to relax and watch TV, or they find it harder to sleep. So you do that whole pre-sleep routine together, and then one of you gets up and goes and does something else, and the other goes to sleep. Mm. You can do that in the post-sleep as well. You know, maybe one of you wakes earlier, gets up, goes and does a bunch of stuff, and then comes back to the bed, and you do that post-sleep routine and rituals. It could be eating breakfast or reading a paper, or again, intimacy and sex. So you really want to look at, like, what specifically is it that I would miss if you weren't in the bed? And you could even experiment with doing a couple of different things. You might have, you know, every other day we sleep together, and then on those off nights we sleep in separate rooms. So you really want to look at how do we maintain both our relational connection as well as the quality of our sleep, because sleep quality is crucial to longevity everything. And health, right?
Yeah, life, everything. To functioning.
Everything. Exactly.
And as you said, just try it, you know, and then come back together again and say, no, that didn't work for either of us.
Yeah, exactly. And you also want to think about why you're doing that experiment. You know, what are the sort of environmental and contextual influences? Because sometimes you might be having bad sleep because you're having a stressful time at work. Mm. It might not be related to your partner. It might
what?
Be.
You mean sometimes yeah. you can't always blame someone else?
Right.
What?
Exactly. No, we're living through a pandemic.
I think we're done here.
Strange. So, I mean, you can point the finger. Yes, you can. But then I want you to check your objective sleep quality while you're sleeping individually.
Look, I don't need you and my fitness tracker yelling at me about my sleep habits. Thanks so much.
You're not the boss of me.
Tara, really interesting to talk through this with you this morning. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Tara Thomas, relationship coach with the Sugar Doctor, your regular guest here on Mornings as well.